Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. I know I said it this past Monday night. We're not doing no more shows, but Sean Black did it to me again. He told me we have to talk about a couple of things to get off our chest. Welcome to another crazy edition, a sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black once again in the building. And like you said, a sports edition. And we're doing the sports edition while I'm watching the Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. So we know that it's a sports show, if I'm bringing that
up. Oh, yes. And it's real hot. It's going back and forth between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets.
Oh,
and
yes.
And since we're on that topic right now, if the Rockets do not win this series, what do you think will be the legacy of James Harden? Like, does he have to win this? Or he will seem like not complete failure, like, you know, he did not live up towards the hype.
This team, currently the way that they are, with all the stuff that they've done, they have to go out and win this. Even if they don't win this, if they take it to 7 games, then something has been shown that James Harden has something in the tank. Because we've seen in the past, he's blown a lot of games or has come up small in the biggest stage when it comes to the playoffs. So they're the best Rockets team from the regular season, best record in basketball, number one seed. They're playing against the champs. They got them on the ropes. This is a team that has to do it because there's no guarantee that if they don't get it done this year, what's going to happen next year? Especially with all of the stuff. We don't know where LeBron is going to be. We don't know where a lot of free agents are going to be, where they're going to go in the Western Conference. So if this is going to be the year that the Rockets win it, it's going to have to be this year.
No, out of all the teams that's playing right now, I'm rooting for the Houston Rockets. I'm rooting for Mike D'Antoni because he was a Knicks coach. And of course, he got screwed like every other Knicks coach that we had in the past. And look how he turned his team around. And you ask yourself, imagine if he had this power back then when he was the Knicks coach. If James Dolan, the Knicks owner, MSG owner, the Rangers owner, did not get involved and just gave him the power to do that. Maybe
but
the
also,
New York Knicks. Yes, go ahead.
I remember that also, let's really be honest, Mike D'Antoni did not have the squad that he needs to run his offense, and the team that he had with the Knicks were really not equipped to do what they're doing, the Rockets are doing.
True,
now.
But maybe he might got out and get some better players, you know. He would probably
happen.
Got some help. He wasn't going
to
have
also have to. You also have to remember, the Knicks, it wasn't that long ago. It was only, 4 years ago that the Knicks won the division and went to the playoffs. And that was a pretty decent squad. So
yeah, under Mike Wilson. Wilson
yes,
is that.
Exactly.
But they got knocked out in the first round by Miami Heat.
It's not okay.
Hello.
No.
You don't matter. Who was it then, Phil? Welcome, Phil.
The Knicks, thank you. The Knicks, I believe, won that series against Boston. I think it was in 6 games.
It was?
That's what you were referring to. It was against Boston. That was in the 2013 season when they won the division.
Yeah, they won 54.
They beat Boston.
They won 54 games. They played Boston. And
they won in 6, and then they lost to the Pacers in, I believe, 6 games.
Well, but despite the fact they have not won a championship in over 30 years, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, that is true.
But 30?
Okay.
Try over 40. It's been since the 70s since this team has won anything. So,
73, wow. I believe.
Yes.
Okay. But, okay, so, Phil, what do you think about the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors if the Rockets does not win?
You know, to be honest, I haven't been keeping up with the NBA as I should, but I think the Rockets are the only team that could have a chance at beating Golden State.
Well, perhaps, because they're the only team that Golden State is playing right now. So
yes,
I think I'm looking at it right now in this sense.
It's 84-82 right now.
This is probably the best defensive game I've seen from both Golden State and from the Rockets. The beginning of the game, the Rockets couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. And then they just came out gangbusters. And then as the second quarter went along, Golden State closed the gap and got it to within 2 points. And it's been basically back and forth ever since.
By the way, guys, it's 85-82. James Harden just made a three throw, number one of two. So we're going to see if he makes the next one. Man.
Okay. I want to go
hey
back.
Hey, guys, how you
K-Dog. Doing? Hello, K-Dog. K-Dog, going back to last night game, everybody was talking about, yes, I'm not surprised that Cleveland Cavs lost against the Boston Celtics, but the talk of the night was LeBron James, how fatigued he was. Were you surprised how tired he was, or like he had it coming, like sooner or later LeBron cannot do it all by himself?
Well, you know what it was? It was the pressure. The pressure was all on LeBron. I mean, listen, when you're a one-man team and you're carrying the whole team on your back without that much assistance, it could put a lot of pressure on you. It could wear you out. And I saw that last night. I was watching the game. I'm like, man, LeBron was really he was really working hard, but it knocked the wind out of him. Basically.
Especially when you're the only one contributing.
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, Kevin Love did his. I mean, Kevin Love, yeah, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, yeah. But other than that, LeBron was the only one. Because listen, let's face it. I told a friend about this from the beginning of the series that Boston was going to be a tough team for Cleveland to play with in the playoffs. This is not regular season. This is the NBA playoffs. This is playoff basketball, different from regular season.
Oh, okay. Well, Phil. I have a question for you. The Stanley Cup Finals has finally been set. It will be the Washington Capitals against a first team that's the expansion team that make it to the final for the first time, the Las Vegas Golden Nuggets. Golden Knights.
Well, here's the thing. This has happened before where a team in its inaugural season didn't make it. It was the St. Louis Blues, but they did lose in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh.
I mean, and
happened back.
But
in
anyway,
67,
I think 67 or 68. But I'll say it like this. Of course, I was rooting for Tampa because Sean, you'll probably know this because of the trade. I was rooting for that second rounder to become a first rounder if Tampa would have won the cup.
Yeah.
But being as it is, I'm glad you're going to see two teams finally win the cup for the first time. However, I think that the Capitals, on the role that they have been on, I think they are really the team that matches up offensively and defensively and can probably have a chance to beat this team. And this isn't the first time the Capitals have taken on Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs, so they know what they need to do.
Yeah, he's terrorized. That goaltender's terrorized that team when he was the goaltender for the Penguins. So they definitely know each other a lot. It's really odd to see an expansion team. I remember making
predictions. They've been hot all year round, surprisingly.
Yeah, exactly, which is weird because the way expansion is supposed to be is that the team is supposed to leave a certain amount of players unprotected. And then the expansion teams are going to get the pick of the litter of the really bad players. So usually this kind of thing doesn't happen. When you see a team like this in Vegas, no less, which makes it look more like a conspiracy, when you have all of these teams now, we've had the betting become now legal throughout the United States, as it'll soon be throughout. So we now have, in its first inaugural season after all of this has happened, now coincidentally we have a team in Vegas going to the Stanley Cup Final. We're going to have a football team in Vegas within the next 2 years as the Raiders move from Oakland to Vegas. So we're going to start to see the influx of sports, and we're going to see whether the betting makes a big push toward the perception of teams in Vegas and see what happens in that light, because a lot of people are going to look at it as some sort of conspiracy. Oh, Vegas is there, et cetera, et cetera. At some point, Vegas is going to get a Super Bowl. We know this because usually when a team is brought in to a new if a new arena is built or a new stadium is built, usually within 2 to 3 years of the stadium being built, they get a Super Bowl. So at some point, Vegas is going to get a Super Bowl. Then we're going to see the impact of all of this betting.
Okay. And do you think there should be – well, NBA is the first team, first sport that will have gambling also, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, starting next year, I believe, or next season.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And what, they're getting 1%, so that's extra millions of dollars in their pocket. Easily.
Yes.
And in other words, everybody's going to be making some serious money in the sports world.
Yeah, well, except for the bettors. Guaranteed they're not going to be winning that much.
Well, the bettors are going to lose their shirts. They're going to lose their minds. Man, this game is tight.
It'll change. That mentality, that thought process of where the money's going to go, it's going to evolve. The same way we've seen a lot of those fantasy betting leagues like DraftKings, et cetera, that for the most part has changed the way betting was. Because initially that was looked at as illegal betting. That's changed to now being legalized. Now that we actually have legalized betting.
Not in New York. Definitely not in New York.
Eventually it'll change because of the overall betting that is going to change the way it is now, that give it time, will evolve and change, and then we're going to start real money, real betting change. And I think in general, those fan leagues have completely changed the face of sports betting overall, because now people are not even – they're not rooting on teams. They're rooting on players to make them money on teams that they've created, which is the big difference.
I agree on that part. Now – it's time to argue about a serious topic. Listen up, panel. When we talk about this topic, like I told Sean, I don't care about the history of the anthem or Colin Kaepernick. We have discussed this topic a million times. You could refer some examples of it. You could you could say some examples, but I don't want to know about the history.
No, we don't need
the NFL. We had a major announcement yesterday regarding the national anthem. And Sean, can you tell us some of the new rules that they apply towards the national anthem?
Well, basically the NFL, which did not actually negotiate with the players on this, I find that very, very interesting, is the fact that if you do have the opportunity when the anthem is played and the team comes out, you either stay on the field and, quote-unquote, respect the anthem by standing up for it. If you kneel or show any form of protest, you will be fined by the league. I don't know if they've given the exact numbers for a fine. But they've also given the option to go into the locker room or stay in the locker room, and then you can protest there. Here is where my problem. The NFL has chosen this route to go and try and make things go away as far as the evils of this whole entire anthem argument. The problem here is when the NFL last year, I believe it was late last year, they came into an agreement with the Players Association to donate, I believe it was close to $100 million. Towards making things better for social injustice and trying to go for those kinds of charities, just to make sure that happens, in exchange for the fact that the anthem protests would dissipate and be done with. In the fact that the NFL players took that for the protest, the right to have their freedom of speech kind of squelched, so to speak, now that we have this as the actual new rule, the players that would be there that have as their First Amendment rights to protest have now basically turned into Rosa Parks, and they've been given the option to sit on the back of the bus. And that is what my problem is with this entire NFL anthem, because the NFL, I'm not putting this on Roger Goodell, I'm putting this squarely on the owners, because the owners kowtowed to the president, who changed the narrative of the argument of why did protests begin the way they are and have turned into what it is now, and it is going to hurt the league's bottom line and the credibility of a lot of people that have watched this game will wane because of it.
Okay, before I go to Phil, someone has texted me that the NFL approves a new policy requiring players to stand for the national anthem. You create a penalty for protesting racism faster than for players who hit women. Think about that for a second. I will go back to you, Sean, and Kay, talk about that. But, Phil, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, the NFL, they're trying to repair. I think they're trying to repair their image. With everything that went on last year, this is basically the only league where you have seen this happen. I mean, you don't see it in the NBA because Adam Silver made it quite clear before the season began that everybody stands for the national anthem. You know you don't see it in the NHL or in baseball. So of the four major sports that are here in the country, they're trying to repair their image. That's what it's all about. They're trying to repair their image because they know last year their image got tarnished with all this protesting, which I can understand where you guys are coming from, because as you have said on I don't know how many shows, you know, minorities are, you know, getting treated the way they should not be treated. And, well, the same can be said with Jewish people, but that's a different ball game. But at the same time, you know, maybe it is fair, you know, if you don't want to stand for the anthem, stay in the locker room till it's over. And then come out. Well,
okay.
It just goes back to one thing. The league is trying to repair its image. That's what it boils down to.
Okay, K-Dog?
Well, from what I see is that the NFL is trying to avoid the controversy, and also, like, I could echo what Phil said about changing their image, but also, you know, they're trying to win their reputation back, because they're trying to show, oh, we got to stand strong, we got to enforce the rules, because no other sport is doing it, like they said. But with all the controversy surrounding Colin Kaepernick, they're just trying to repair what really hurt them. But at the same time, you got to understand that, yes, you have a right to protest. There is that right. And unfortunately, it's like a lot of people were getting angry at Colin Kaepernick for protesting, but it's his right to protest. But however, with the new law, what they did was that if you don't want to, you have an option. It's either you stand for the national anthem or you stay in your locker room. And I get a feeling that you're going to see a lot of empty spots on the field from all of this.
With that part alone, K-Dog, the problem I have with that part alone,
mm-hmm.
it will cause more of a distraction than the message itself, because now you're going to have people looking who's not on the field like, oh, look, Sean Blanc did not come to the field. Oh, K-Dog didn't
right.
come to the field. Phil
right.
did not come
That's
to the field.
You're
so
see.
The media will come to the back room and interview Sean Blanc. K-Dog, why are you guys did not come to the field? Even
exactly.
though we know the reason why. But,
this is
yes.
gonna. This is what I'm saying. That's why you're gonna see a lot of empty spots on the football field. Do you agree
and,
with that,
Sean?
It's going to be like this for a long time until they figure out,
yep.
As they say, they get their sea legs. And
yes.
if for the NFL, it's all about optics, and it's all about, like you said, their reputation. But that's to really call it what it is. It's about looking good for their fans, looking good for the media, and
mm-hmm.
their bottom
that's the business.
Line. This league is gaining $2 billion from Verizon for their streaming rights, you know, on cell phones and computers, et cetera, to watch their product. They already got all these things lined up. But here's the hypocrisy of this whole thing. In a league that dictates what you should protest, what you should stand up for, they have Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, where they allow players, people to wear pink for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Anything for prostate cancer and awareness for domestic violence, which is something that they've been talking about as well. They had a commercial PSAs for that. But what they're also saying by basically telling you, we don't want you to protest on the field, even though you have a constitutional right to do so because of the First Amendment, the NFL values the other stuff more so than they are for this. And then the reason why I'm bringing this up, there was something in the NBA that happened just a couple days ago that was just released as a video. Sterling Brown, who played for the Milwaukee Bucks, in January was tased by police because he parked his car in a parking lot at a Walmart, at a Walgreens at 2 in the morning, illegally. What should have happened? He should have gotten a fine, a citation, and move on. Instead, it took 4 police cars, a fire truck, and 9 police officers to bring one man down and tase him after he's already acquiesced to the police. That's the reason why the players are protesting. Reasons like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where this could have, if it wasn't put on camera, could have been worse. And all of the other examples that we've talked about over the last 2 years of other African Americans and other minorities being disenfranchised, bullied, and in a lot of instances killed because of police who either have fear or any other issues in the community that have shown that this is the reason why they are protesting. And the NFL has shown that that particular protest they do not care about. Now, there are owners that are there that actually care about the situation, like the Jets, the CEO, Chris Johnson, who I believe is the son of Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, has basically stated that they're going to eat the cost of any player they get to fine. Chip York of the 49ers said the same thing. If any of our players protest, I, as the team owner, we will eat the cost of that and take care of the fine so they don't get penalized for their constitutional rights. Those two people, they get it. The rest of the league, they don't.
All right. Well, okay. I have to be the devil's advocate here, and you guys might be upset with this statement. I have to see this from a business aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree the NFL is a bunch of hypocrites. There's nothing new about that. And I will get to Brother B in a couple of minutes. But me and my guys at work was talking about this. The way that the NFL handled this situation, of course, was premature. That's nothing new. They should have stepped up over a season ago when the problem occurred. We understand that the business is losing money. But as a business owner or team owner, if you don't want your players to kneel, make it a rule, your players do not kneel. Do not give them the option to go to the back. If you don't, if I'm paying you XYZ, I believe Phil said this a while ago, XYZ, and these are my rules and this is my policy. Yes, you have your rights to express your opinion, to exercise, do whatever you want, but not on my field, not at my work area, not with my company. If you don't like these rules, feel free to ask for a trade or to be released or go somewhere else. If I feel that you're costing me money because of your rights, because remember, I'm in the business to make money. I'm not in the business to lose money. So, yes, the CEOs wanted to pay fines, but trust me, how long are they willing to pay for these fines? Nobody don't want to lose millions of dollars. That defeats the whole purpose of owning a business, despite that you're a billion-dollar company. If you're losing $10 million in fines, you're going to cry sooner or later. And you don't even have to see that as a tax write-off. I'm not saying don't protest or don't do anything, but if this is affecting my business in one way or another, we have to find a way to nip this in the bud. The NFL should, like Sean said, should not be hypocrite and do the breast cancer awareness or other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay that the NFL hit a woman player, they get fined for a little bit, but you take a protest. Against police brutality. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but if it's affecting my business, if the fans don't like it, if the advertisers don't like it, something has to be done overall. So I know I'm sounding like a little bit of both sides, but I'm taking from the business aspect of it. Either you don't take a knee or you leave. That will be my final rule overall. And I have Brother B on the line right now. Brother B, what do you
What's
have
up,
to say
brother?
About this?
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
How y'all doing? What's going on, my friend?
Greetings.
Okay, not much.
Well, Brother B, before you start, you can get off of your knee now. You don't have to protest anymore against me.
You know why I'm not protesting? My whole attitude is still F the NFL. My attitude is, yo, every black player know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just make your money and shut up. Because you know what? If you really want to protest, become more active in the communities. Start organizations. You know what I'm saying? Get at the situation. If you already know you can't go right, then go left. You know what I'm saying? That whole thing, the decision that they made, is basically clamping down on everybody's First Amendment. And once again, nobody's saying anything. Where are the feminists at that are quick to jump on Bill Cosby, but you ain't going to jump on these football players for beating on their women? But you ain't going to say, what happened? Like, I just find, like, the whole situation hypocritical, and I find it ridiculous. We already know what it's about. You already know that this whole protest thing was about police brutality, but most of that type of white America, they don't care about Negroes enough. Who cares if they get shot? Who cares if they get killed? Just run the ball. That's all I need you to do. I don't need you to do anything else but pass that ball, make sure you win my bet, or make sure you bring our town to the Super Bowl. That's it. If you get shot or your little brother gets shot, hey, listen, get over it. You're getting paid millions of dollars, your little crybabies. Get over it. Stand up for the anthem, for a country that was never meant for you to be in anyway. You know, because if it was up to them, we would still be in chains. But technically we are, just another form.
Yeah, I'm gonna address your point that you made about 2 minutes ago. And you're correct on this, the standpoint of it's a bottom line business. If the owners had enough gall to open their mouths and all say to the players, this is a business. This is going to affect our bottom line. Let's come together and get this solved. Then we could have a better, more honest discussion about this.
Can I ask you a question, Sean? Is it really about business or is it about patriotism? Because, see, Trump tried to spin it in terms of patriotism, but yet he wants to disrespect John McCain and disrespect other veterans. See, you can't talk out your mouth and then talk out your ass, too.
But that's Trump.
Exactly.
But the NFL owners is really care about their business because, like I said, they're the one that losing millions of dollars. Trump doesn't care.
Oh, yes,
it's all about patriotism.
And veterans has lost legs and lost buddies. Veteran people they're losing their lives. So you're trying
but
to tell me your dollar is more important than somebody sacrificing for the sake of our freedom? Come on,
and
man.
And that's the reason why I said the NFL is all about optics. Because remember, it's the NFL that's taking the check from the military to have all of these military flybys during each game, during the Super Bowl. And even more so, here's the other hypocrisy of this entire thing. We all are hearing about how these players, they don't care about the anthem, they're not patriotic, et cetera, et cetera. How many times has a network on TV shown the national anthem being played if it's not the first week of the season, it's not an all-star type of game, or it's not the Super Bowl? That's one. Number two, when was the last time you saw any of the fans who claim to be patriots, et cetera, actually care about the anthem themselves? Because I've been to many football games, and when the national anthem is played, I have seen people at the concession stand, I've seen people go to the bathroom, I've seen people jumping up and down talking and singing and doing all other things instead of actually doing what they're being told to do, which is stand up at attention for the flag for the national anthem. So
they eliminated in schools. They
exactly.
eliminated the
they
national
did.
Anthem in school, so what's the beef?
Yes, they did.
It's all
okay.
about optics.
Okay, I think I asked this You're question right. a while back, but to Phil, if the white man was taking a knee and did all this kneeling thing, would we be talking about it today?
It's a good point. I think we probably would.
No.
But
no.
Not,
nah,
but
we wouldn't.
Probably
no,
not.
We wouldn't. If 80% of the league were white boys, it wouldn't happen.
I'm sorry, Phil.
It wouldn't cause a controversy.
But I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead. Continue, Phil. Sorry.
I just think it would be talked about, but not. But it wouldn't be blown out of. It wouldn't be as talked about as the way we're doing this now.
The reason why I brought this up, it shows the power. How, I'm not saying Jewish people, I'm just saying how most white people are afraid of black people speaking their mind or having knowledge about something. That's why I brought the difference between a white man taking a knee and a black man taking a knee. If the white man took a knee, like you say, Phil, it might be talked about for a little bit, but you know what, it'd be on the news for 15 minutes on to the next. Now, one black man.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but we had one black man 2 years ago, and we're still talking about it. It still has a major effect on football.
Because it's a threat.
Media.
It's a threat.
It is.
It's a threat, it's a threat,
you know,
to the way it's a threat to their optics. It's a threat to the way they live. They don't want one man to start one thing off, and then next thing you know, everybody starts following it.
Well, let me tell you what Colin Kaepernick did, and you know what? He started something that was humongous, and what he did was that he brought attention by taking a knee and saying, you know what, this is going to be my form of protest because I'm sick and tired of seeing my brothers and sisters being murdered by the police, and which the police are always getting away with it. And you know what, it's time for it to stop. So you know what, rather than salute this flag, rather than stand up during this national anthem, I'm going to take a knee. I'm going to put my knee down, and I'm going to make a statement. And that is what he did. And you know, notice, all of a sudden, a lot of black players in the league started taking the knee.
And when you bring up Colin Kaepernick's name, you have to bring up Eric Reed's name because he's in lockstep with him. They both came up with this. And the same thing that happened to Kaepernick is the same thing that happened to Reed. Reed can't find a job in the NFL.
Okay,
but you know what's crazy?
Hold on 1 second, guys. Breaking news. The Houston Rockets have beat in the Golden State Warriors 98-94. Series.
Yep, I just
Houston lead 3-2. Wow.
Yeah, I was watching the end of that.
This is a serious game right here. I was watching it.
Yeah. Okay, now back to you, Brother B.
What I find interesting, how the people who took an oath to protect police officers, like in the beginning when Colin Kaepernick started it, they all of a sudden was like, oh, well, we're not going to do this or we're not going to do that. Yet you took an oath. I find it interesting how, like, those type of people can just do whatever they want to do and stop doing this and stop doing that, and they don't have to do their job. But our feet are always held to the fire. Black people are always held accountable for their actions, just like all these little school shooters. All these cats, none of them are black, but yet... What? You just throw them in jail? You probably put them in PC and nobody touches them? I mean, come on, man. It's an obvious double standard. It's an obvious double standard.
The sad thing is, Brother B, you know what's sad? They're quick to call out mental illness. Yeah, right.
Well, then you know what? Then there are some cats with mental illnesses that have badges, that have the job as police officers. Because I'm not going to say policing is bad. I'm just going to say there are individuals that take this job that shouldn't have the job.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of them.
All right, so, well, let me go to Sean Black. So, Sean Black, I know you're upset with a new ruling. In your opinion, I don't know if you stated it already, how do you think overall the NFL need to clean this mess up and rebuild their image again?
The NFL went about this the wrong way in the sense that they did not have an open dialogue with the Players Association. If the Players Association had more input in the decision and the direction of where they wanted the NFL wanted to go with this, then it would have been a little bit better. But see what the as we going back to that word optics again, the optics are shown that the players, because of the donation of this fund that I told you about that was put in by the NFL, that was agreed upon by the Players Association and the NFL, it's almost as if the NFL kind of bought some sort of complicity with the players so that they would go away. That did not happen because, as I said before, there have been many instances since then. that have warranted people that are saying, well, when the league starts again, until social injustice has been acknowledged and something is done, we're going to protest. And I'm looking right now at the way that this policy is and the way the arrogance of the reaction from President Trump, who basically said that it's a good thing that the league did what they were supposed to do, and if they don't, here's the funny thing. If they don't stand for the anthem, maybe they don't belong in this country, which is completely asinine and against what the entire premise of the First Amendment is in the first place. Is
a
that
draft
you are
dodger.
Protected.
A draft dodger.
Yep.
Protected.
Draft
as you said, a draft dodger, somebody that doesn't have a lot of the integrity that most people would think that somebody that would criticize this.
Well, sorry, Sean. Yep. That statement alone, I agree with you on that, but that statement alone will build into the minds of the crazy people out there, though. You know what? The white people out there will believe into that, or the black Trump supporters. They don't know what I'm talking about. They will believe in that statement.
Oh my goodness! Don't get me started.
And they'll use that statement alone and preach it to other people. And that's what I was asked in the past. Had Trump opened the door of racism, or took this to another new level? Because those words alone were built into the mind. And they're like, you know what? Since Kaepernick took a knee, for example, he needs to go back to his country since he doesn't love it here.
Yeah,
What other country do we have to go to? You stole black people from a continent and brought them here, and we were forced to live here. How are you going to tell us to go back to our country? What country? This is our country.
Yeah, and I have to bring this up. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And everything that is in that preamble right there tells you all of the basis that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed and anybody else that has ever taken a knee or has done any protests, they have the right under that exact statement to do that peaceably because it is their God-given right as citizens of the United States to do exactly that. And what the president opened his mouth and stated completely smacks everyone in the face of that right. Why? Because of the
atmosphere,
the racism that follows through for a lot of people that think in that way, that if you don't like what you're doing here, then you can always go somewhere else. And
what
that is not the case in this situation.
Not to go off the topic a little bit, but to Phil, this past Monday that we did talk about the lawyer that threw out the racist rant about you need to speak English and all that stuff. Talk about injustice. Do you feel, not to go off the top a little bit, people in this country need to learn how to speak English?
Absolutely. This is an English-speaking country. Because if I was to go to another country, let's say Japan or France or somewhere like that, I'd have to learn the language. So you want to come here to this country, that's fine, but you need to learn the language. Because if I go to your country, I'm going to have to learn that language.
But it goes
both ways.
But you just can't walk up on somebody who's speaking their language to each other and then all of a sudden say, oh, this is America, you need to speak out. No. Listen, where I work, it's kind of like customer service. If you need this, you need to know a little bit of English to get where you need to go. If I'm in France, I need to know a little bit of French to get where I need to go. But you just can't randomly walk up on somebody that's not even offering you any service and just tell them, oh, you need to speak English because this is America. Who the hell are you?
As I brought up on Monday's show, the United States does not have an official language. There are literally over 500 different dialects spoken by people that live in the United States daily. There's more than one. I know we have a lot of Haitian Creole people out there. There's more than one form of Creole that's spoken in the United States. There's a Hawaiian Creole. There's a Haitian Creole.
Yep.
There's a French Creole. So there are different types of languages that are spoken in the United States by people that have come over as immigrants, obviously because they're comfortable with their language. And as they assimilate into the country and they learn the customs and they learn to speak the language that is favored but not official in this country, the racial pretenses have to be abolished to allow the people that come over here feel comfortable enough to be able to live here without the bigotry and all of the other garbage that goes along with making their lives an everyday hell because they're not the same as, quote-unquote, the people that are citizens that are here already.
True,
so keep that
but
in mind.
Exactly.
When you go to other countries, they want you to learn their language, right?
That's the truth, but those are official languages. The official language in France is French. The official language in Japan is Japanese. There is no official language in the United States. So for somebody to come out and say something like that is absolutely ignorant. To come out and say, well, and I'm not saying that what you're saying, Phil, is ignorant. What I'm saying is that for anybody that doesn't know that the United States does not have an on-the-books official language, even though 80% of the country speaks English, there are other dialects and other languages in the United States that people don't realize are spoken by over 350 million people that actually live here.
And Sean Black, we don't even speak official English. Like, if you ask the Europeans, this is broken English that we speak.
Yeah,
we don't even speak
correct English. That's what I was about to say. Listen, here in the United States, remember, there are different people here, and it is their right to speak whatever language they want to speak. If they come, should they learn how to speak English? But of course. But you have to remember also, right here in New York City, remember, it's the capital of the world. There are people of different countries that live here. Would he have snapped at the Russians? No, I don't think he would. Would he have snapped at the Germans? No, he wouldn't have. But, again, this is Trump's America. I'm sorry I have to bring the Trump's name up. But, however, this is the reality of it, and that it's giving the right to people to open their mouths and be total bigoted idiots.
Okay.
You know what I think is. You know what I think is also going on, if I may say. I think that part of white America feels like they're losing control, so they have to start doing things to get control again. So, because what it looks like right now, everything is like a control factor. It's like you're trying to say this, you're trying to control that, you're trying to clamp down on the First Amendment. You're trying to, like, how do you make a donation and then say, okay, well, players, if you don't stand for the anthem, you're going to be fined. So basically, they're making that money back. That's what that
is. Remember,
it
was a unilateral decision. They didn't even converse with the
players. Exactly. They said, listen, your opinion doesn't matter. We're going to make this decision, and you're going to like it. And if you don't, then it is what it is. Then for Trump to get up there and say, oh, you know, if you don't like it, you can go back to your country, is insulting because history tells it. Their history tells it. Who built this country?
And I'm gonna be honest, and Phil
knows it. I bet you if there was at least 10 to 15% of Jewish players, we wouldn't even be having issues like this. They wouldn't be saying too much because one thing that they don't play with, they don't mess with the Jews. That's hands off, and we all know it. It's an unspoken thing, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. I ain't never had no problem with any Jewish people. I don't have problems with white people. Like I said, I embrace everybody, but I got to call a spade, and when I see you doing something stupid, it's something stupid. But don't label it business when you're trying to do something stupid and ignorant and being discriminatory because that's what it is.
Phil?
I can understand what Brother B is saying, and the only reason why I feel that way, that you should learn the language, because it's like Sean, was it Sean that said 80% of the language here is English? And I told this, Sean, I told this to you off the air many times. My grandmother came to this country from Poland 6 months before Hitler attacked. And she had no choice. She had to learn. She had to learn English. She had to learn it, or else she was not going to make it here.
Well, Phil, that was like 60 years ago. Now we have different type of technology and ways to communicate now compared to 60 years ago, give or take.
And I also find it funny that a lot of the people that are the ones that are complaining that people aren't learning, quote-unquote, English, or when you come to our country, you have to learn English, et cetera, those same people that are using those same racial undertones, they're probably a generation away from being immigrants themselves.
Exactly.
There have been plenty of people that have come out there and said that, you know what, if you don't learn our language, then just get out of our country. And their grandparents came from Poland, or their parents came from Germany, or came from...
Well, Sean, I'll do you one better.
But it's easier to say that, but where I work at, you think anybody's challenging the immigration officials or the people who give the tests? Listen, all you have to do is know the minimum to take that test. That's all you have to.
But I do one better, Sean. What about those that celebrate Cinco de Mayo or St. Patrick's Day,
And you
Passover.
Know what's funny? You know what's bad? You're criticizing people for speaking different languages, but yet you go to their businesses. When you want to eat some exotic foods, they're always quick to say, oh, let's go to a Mexican restaurant. Let's go to a Mediterranean restaurant. Let's go to this restaurant. But yet, you're criticizing people for not speaking the language, but yet you want to take part in their culture. That's being hypocritical right there.
Just to kind of bring it back to the sports topic, and back to the NFL, the reasoning why this is happening is twofold. One, the NFL are afraid of two masters. The NFL owners are afraid of losing their fans, which in hence loses their money. And even more so, I think they're afraid of the president, because a lot of these owners of the NFL teams are in lockstep with the same kind of thinking process that President Trump and people of his ilk are employed with. They have the same thought process as far as the same ways of making money, the same thought process of how to make it, how to keep wealth, et cetera, et cetera. And the thought process always comes down to how much money can you make, and can you make more money even if you're making gobs and gobs of money hand over fist. The NFL is going to make roughly $14 billion this upcoming fiscal year.
The problem is, they're screwing up the way they're doing it. They're bringing more attention with this stupid new rule. And that's why we're talking about it right now. Like I said earlier, you're going to have people, you're telling them, Brother B, you don't want to stand up for the national anthem, go stand in the back. And you think the media
like I said, there's going to be a lot of empty spots on it. There's going to be a lot of empty spots because of this.
To be honest, Kato, I don't think so. Maybe the first day, to make a statement. But after that, I don't think it's going to happen because, enough negativity going around. Like, at some point, enough is enough. If it's not making any change to social injustice, is it really worth it in the end? That's my question I meant to ask you earlier, K-Dog.
Is it really worth it?
Yeah, if it's the same thing happening over and over. It happened to Sterling Brown back in January, a Milwaukee Bucks player. It shows you that, once again, no black man is immune to this. It happened to a football player a few, maybe last year, I believe, right, Sean?
Yeah, it did last year.
And that should be even more reason for the NFL players to stand up and take a knee.
You have to stand up and be heard. Because the only way you have to bring about change is by action. And I'm not talking about, just marching down the street. No, you have to protest in a different way. Protest where it hurts the pocket. Protest where it hurts, where you have to make noise. You understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, what they're doing in the NFL, hey, it's been done in sports before. It has been done. I'm not going to go into the history of that. But however, you have to make a statement. In order to bring change, you have to be about it. You have to be serious. You can't just make noise one day and be silent the next and go back to business. No.
Well, you're an entertainer. You're entertaining.
Exactly.
You're not so. Entertainers are not supposed to have any type of voice. You're not. All you're supposed to do is entertain. You're supposed to dance. You're supposed to throw the ball. You're supposed to catch the ball. You're supposed to make money, get your endorsements. That's all you're supposed to do.
And that's the great hypocrisy of the whole article. The fact that we always want the athletes to say something when it comes to some sort of. We want honesty and transparency with our athletes. Okay, fine. And then when the athlete actually says something that hits real life to him or
oh my goodness, it causes
then
a controversy.
All of a sudden, shut up and dribble. Shut up and throw.
Exactly.
Shut up and kick.
But guys, let's be honest. We all agree change needs to be happened. But we also believe there's time and place for everything. When you turn into a football game, do you want to see controversy or you just want to see a game? Do you want to get your mind off of reality and yell at the TV for at least 3 to 4 hours? Or you want to see someone kneeling and to give you distraction overall?
Hot Rod and Sean Black, let me ask you guys a question. Well, this is for everyone. Now, I heard what Hot Rod just said, right? You know, you come to a game, you want to see this, you want to see that. But what about the players? See, we don't really know certain things, but I've heard the stories of how players get heckled and racist remarks are thrown at them and this, that, and the third. And you know what I'm saying? You see, somewhere along the line, someone always has to bring race into it. If you're on the basketball court or you're a football player, and then, you know, okay, so the hometown team may lose. Does that give somebody in the crowd the right, hey, monkey, you can't get it together?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little
this.
Bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the bus, sorry. Yeah, I'm on the bus. Does that give anybody the right to call one of the players a monkey and call them the N-word?
Nope.
Because you know what I'm saying? So who is playing the race card? Don't do stuff like that, but somebody has to stand up and say something. So when does it go from entertainment to, you know, to like, well, I got to stand up for myself because I'm being disrespected?
Sean, and that's the reason why I've always said before, the premise behind a protest is to make people feel uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that it brings attention to the reason why they're protesting. You, as the person that is not protesting, that is seeing the protest, do not have the right to pick and choose what makes you feel uncomfortable. If the person is protesting has a reason for what they're doing, and it does make you uncomfortable, they've done their job. If somebody's kneeling for the national anthem makes you uncomfortable, maybe it brings you an attention. Why is he doing that? Why is he down on a knee? Maybe you find out. You go online. You listen to the player. Why is he has these transgressions? And then you'll get your answer. Maybe you'll find out a little more insight. You may or may not agree with him or her, but at least you know what that is the case.
But at the same time, as Brother B said in the past, we always pick and choose our battle. Overall, do you think the people really care what's going on in the world today until it affects them personally? Think about it. The more Sterling Brown, maybe he did talk about it. I don't know him. Or maybe he didn't care until he got stopped by the cops, until he got tased, until he was like, wow, this thing is really happening. Am I an athlete? Imagine us, no, normal guys, not athletes. Do you think people really care about it overall? And that's why we're not getting the response or the positive response from this thing?
I think that people are not getting, they're not asking the right people. That's what I think is the issue. There are a lot of people that have had transgressions brought about them. And the only time that you'll hear about it is if they take the time to personally tell the media, the press, et cetera, what has happened to them, to a family member, a loved one, et cetera. And the thing is that now the only time it seems to hit home is if it's your favorite celebrity or your favorite athlete or your favorite movie star or whoever it is, that they tell you, although I'm making X amount of millions of dollars, I got stopped on the highway and I was tased because all I did was ask, why are you pulling me over?
Okay.
And these are the kinds of things that are happening.
Okay, not towards you, Phil, personally, but do you think white people care of what's going on in the world if you have to take a guess?
Phil ain't white. He's
it,
Jewish. Phil ain't white. He's Jewish. Big difference.
Well, we know that, but, you know, he has to represent the white side somehow.
Oh Lord.
Oh God. I think we've really gone from a sports show to another whole show.
Exactly.
But you know, it's like you just said, unless it affects you personally, nobody cares. Unless it affects you personally.
So I really want to keep saying it, because so what is the point of this continuing protesting right now if we all overall is bringing nothing but negativity and chaos? And I don't know what to say anything else about this anymore. And
it's only negative because they don't like it. That type of America doesn't like it. That's the only reason why it's negative. If it was, listen, it's never negative when you see a black man lying in the damn street with his head busted open and the cop said, oh, I feared for my life. It's not negative then. It's only negative because they don't like it, because they don't approve it. That type of America, that white type of white America does not approve it. That's why it's a problem.
I'll give you a crystal clear definition about this. There have been more attention paid in the last 2 or 3 years to the death of Cecil the Lion and Harambe the Ape,
yes,
than to African Americans that have been put down in the street by police officers, who have been manhandled, et cetera, at the hands of these police officers that have had whatever racist views, policy, et cetera, is the case. We hear all the time in forums, et cetera, oh, it's sad what they did to that poor animal, et cetera, et cetera. You hear more love and you'll hear more solutions involved as to what they should do to the people that put down these animals than to people who are living, breathing people that have
Sean
families
Black.
And loved ones. And that's part,
Sean
of, the,
Black,
that's part of the issue.
Do you agree they would have, if they would have let them kill Michael Vick? And Michael Vick didn't even say that he shot any dogs. He was just financially
running a dog
giving
fight.
His cousin money. They would have let they would have let people kill him just because of that. I find that very interesting.
And that's the scary part about that question, is because even though I don't know if it would have actually happened, there's a possibility that it probably could have.
What? Sean, I'm sorry. You know, if there was an opportunity to kill Michael Vick, people,
they would have.
White people
would have
killed him.
Yes, they would have.
When he came back as a quarterback, there was so much protest towards that. Even though he was a great quarterback.
The man got death threats. He got death threats.
But you know
he
what
did.
Happened?
He received a lot of death threats.
He was able to sign on with another team, and
the
he was able to win. And you know what that is? As John Madden has always said, winning is always a great deodorant. And that's all that
happened. You know what? How much did that team have to pay the North Shore Animal League or whoever, or pay PETA, just to get them off their back? You know they had to pay that.
Of course they did. They have to pay. They have to cost
there's
got to
be a payoff somewhere.
But he was able to rehab his. He was able to rehab his personality, his persona, and he even was able to parlay it into another $100 million contract. Even after the first year, he was looked at as the devil, as Diablo, and go to hell and don't come here, and et cetera, et cetera. He was able to change that perception.
Didn't he make a statement? What happened? Wasn't there something going on where he made a statement about somebody black? They asked him about a situation. I think it was about Colin Kaepernick. And then
he
made a statement. And then, you know,
yes,
that was very
yes,
House Negro-ish.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. I think it was just last year.
I think it was last year when
he made that comment.
He said it. At the height of Colin Kaepernick's protest, they had asked him the question, and he made that controversial statement, which was,
"Cut your hair."
Yes, I disagreed with everything he said.
Okay.
He said it. Then he somewhat recanted it.
Yeah, he did. He tried to play it off. I said, "No,
he said it."
Yeah,
he apologized afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, guys, Brother B, Phil the Fishman Fisher, K Dog, and Sean Black, thank you so much for Sports Edition / Absolute Truth type of show, you know, hot topic. It is very important that we have expressed our feelings as how we feel, and hopefully this problem will get resolved, which I doubt it, but you know what? I'm trying to be positive for once. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
When you have people like that dude calling, man, you know that problem ain't going away.
I'm gonna end it like this. Hot Rod, I'm gonna give you a nightmare. Sean, you might have a heart attack. The Mets beat the Brewers tonight in Milwaukee 5-0, and Steven Matz was the winning pitcher.
Yes. Good grief.
Queens.
On that note.
Wow.
Good night.
Time to play the lotto.
That's right. Later, guys.
Well, later, guys. Have a good night.